This is the RightsCast Network at rightscast.net.
Who survives when an internet access brain implant pits spouse against spouse, brother against sister, and governments against their people? Honor the past, embrace the present, and seize the future with R.R. Campbell's Mourning Dove, the second installment in his epic empathy sci-fi saga. Now available from 9 Star Press. For more, visit empathyseries.com. Ever feel like you've got a story from your own personal experience that could be turned into a book? You're not alone, and this episode's guest has done just that. Over the course of our conversation, we'll explore what led him to writing a memoir, how it differs from writing a novel, and how you might get started writing a memoir of your own. Hey there, I'm author, editor, and RightsCast Network founder R.R. Campbell, and welcome to episode 57 of your listener-supported R.R. Campbell RightsCast here on the RightsCast Network. Today's guest is Dave Watson, founder and editor of Movies Matter at DaveSaysMoviesMatter.com. He's a writer and educator who lives in Madison, Wisconsin with his family and a guinea pig named Pippin. Walkabout Undone is his first book. With that in mind, let's jump right into my R.R. Campbell RightsCast conversation with Dave Watson. Stay tuned after the interview for a heads up about what we'll cover next on the RightsCast Network. Thanks for listening. Thank you very much, Dave, for joining me for this episode of the R.R. Campbell RightsCast here on the RightsCast Network.
Thank you, R.R. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this conversation. We haven't discussed memoir on any of the RightsCast Network programs before, so we'll hop right in. And though we're talking about memoir in general, it sounds like your blog, Movies Matter, played a really big role in getting your memoir published. So let's start there, maybe. What made you want to start this blog? Why do movies matter? And how did your blog lead you down the path to publication?
Okay, good question, because my blog doesn't have anything to do with memoir, except for the fact that movies create memories, right? Or people can recall memories, film, even individual shots and moments, they can recall them years later, or lines. Of course, people quote movie lines all the time.
I think
The Godfather is still quoted now, coming on 47 years after its re-release. But regarding Movies Matter, I launched it because I went through actually some professional tumult, and I decided, you know what, I'm going to launch this, and I've been sitting on this knowledge for quite a while. I discovered a love for film right around the age of 11 or 12. Now, right around then, Spielberg was really launching with Raiders of the Lost Ark and E.T., and I was about 10 years old at the time. And it was when the summer blockbusters of the 80s were really taking off, even though Spielberg's Jaws really set the stage for all of that when it came out in 1975. So I discovered I loved film throughout growing up, but I decided I also liked writing about them. But writing about them is very hard. You have to pick and choose one aspect or one component of a movie that stands out if you read reviews. Longtime fan of Roger Ebert, of course, who sadly passed away now 6 years ago this April. And so I kind of created my own style as well, which I hear about more than anybody, is I'm very short and to the point. I write 2 or 3 paragraph reviews. And I met a very good friend of mine years ago at an Elvis party, of course, where everybody dresses up as Elvis. And his name is Kim Lee, and he's vice president of Michael Wiese Productions. And I interview his authors, and he's a wonderful guy, friend, human being. And I could interview writers, camera people, directors, photographers, editors, sound mixers. And they are all aspects of the storytelling I loved hearing about and learning about them, and I'd like to share that with other people. That created my audience, really. And so I went to the Writers' Conference, the UW Writers Institute coming up, which you will be presenting at as well.
Yes.
And yeah, you're doing like 4 sessions, right?
I am. Yeah. By the time this is aired, listeners, you will have missed this year's Institute, but maybe you can join us next year.
True. You may. So, but it's still wonderful, and I'm still looking forward to your sessions there.
Thanks.
This memoir, I decided I had to write it. And I decided this is the classic publishing story. I wrote it about 14 years ago, and I took a year off to write it from the corporate world. And I got one piece of writing advice that I heard after I wrote the memoir was that you get as much writing done when you're working 40 hours a week as when you're not. And that I found to be true. And a librarian at a middle school in Seattle, of all people, told me that advice after I wrote it. I said, you know what, you're right. she was correct. So but it took a year off to write this, and you know, because I hadn't seen my blog out there where people interview many professionals and you review films the way you want. That's one great thing about the internet that's still true today, I find, even though we're coming on, you know, almost 30 years here of the internet being around. I wrote the memoir my way because I hadn't seen a book about Australia out there. And I lived Australian for 2 years. I hadn't seen many Australian stories told from the American point of view. Not many people, most people go there for about 3 months. You know, they do the tourist visa thing. They see the Great Barrier Reef. They see the Sydney Opera House, Great Ocean Road, whatever, or the Red Center. And then they come home. And not many people I knew had lived there for a year or two and written about it. So I feel like I had a specific point of view and definitely a personal experience to bring to the table with my memoir.
Right. Well, that sounds like quite the journey to get you from, you know, focusing primarily on film and interviewing folks that are coming from that world. And then, of course, you slid into writing this memoir. I'm curious to learn a little bit more about it. You know, what is the memoir? It sounds like it takes, you know, you're reflecting on experiences that you had in Australia. But what is the memoir really about?
Well, it really starts as a love story because I fell in love with an Aussie and went down there to see if I could spend the rest of my days there. And so, and then it's about all the consequences of where you fall in love, when you fall in love halfway around the world. You know, you can fall in love to a vastly different country. I mean, you could go to Africa, you could go to the Middle East, and I ended up going to Australia, which is still a whole new ballgame. It's sort of like some Yanks or Americans who move up to Canada and they think, oh, it'll be just like America. And they get there and it's very different, you know, in some very subtle ways. In Australia, I found to be closely parallel to that. So I got involved in academic shenanigans, but I also uncovered the Australian racism and xenophobia down there that, boy, they are reluctant to talk about. Some acknowledge, some don't. So in some ways, they're reflections of us too, because Americans have very different ways. Some Americans see us as very tolerant, and some people say, no, we're not tolerant at all. You know, so it's, you know, in that case, it's a very personal journey I went on.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like it. And one thing I actually haven't asked yet is what the title of your memoir is, if you'd like to share that with listeners.
Absolutely. It's Walkabout Undone.
Perfect. And when did that come out and who published that one?
Oh, it came out in 2017 and Henschel House Books out of Milwaukee. So run by Kira Henschel, very special person. She published it and she took me on a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and folks who are interested in hearing more about Henschel House or Henschel House Publishing, we'll actually have an episode available featuring Kira from Henschel House. That'll be episode 55 of the Rights Cast over at rightscast.net/podcasts/rightscast. You can listen to her there. So as we advance through this conversation, we touched on this a little bit in your earlier response. But did you always want to be a memoir writer? And if not, what really made you say, I need to write this book?
Great question. So no, I never saw myself as a memoir writer. In fact, thrillers, espionage, crime, they are my favorite genres, hands down. You know, that's why I interviewed Charles Ardai of Hard Case Crime on my blog, Movies Matter. But what made me want to write it was, I thought it was different, unique. I hadn't seen a book like this out there. You have to believe, you have to take rejection many, many times to get this done. And I felt like, you know, if I do this, even if I don't make any money on it, I will have written a 237-page book. You know, no matter how many thousands of words, you as a sci-fi writer, you can appreciate that. Some people talk about length, some people don't. But I said, no matter how long it is, no matter how in-depth I explore some issues, you know, whether about Australia or about the person or the people that are involved in this story, it'll be unique because it's your own voice. So that's also what I say to other writers out there. As you know, stand by your own voice. Absolutely. So, but yeah, as far as I, you know, 20 years ago, I would not have told you that I would have been a memoir writer at all. So.
With that, let's pause for a moment for a brief word from, well, me. Your book, our airwaves. Yes, it's true. Anything is possible when you advertise with the RightsCast Network. Hey there, I'm R.R. Campbell, RightsCast Network founder, and I'm here to let you know that you can now advertise your book, podcast, editing services, whatever creative endeavor, you can advertise it here on the RightsCast Network. Not only that, but you can advertise with us for less than a dollar a month. Yes, we offer packages for as little as less than a dollar a month. So get your book, your editing services, podcast, what have you, introduced to hundreds of new listeners by advertising with us today at rightscast.net/advertise or email me at rightscast@gmail.com and we can get started. Let's make it happen for you and your creative endeavors. That's your book, our airwaves, rightscast.net/advertise. And it sounds like, too, you know, with your interest in thrillers, for example, I'm curious, have you ever dabbled in writing fiction of your own? And how does writing fiction compare with writing a memoir?
Okay. Another good question, R.R. You're on a roll. Boy, that is a tough one to answer. Because sometimes I thought of David Lynch, of all people, the filmmaker. He said, hey, if you want to send a message, you know, called TransUnion, I'm interested in the mysteries of life and the thrills, and with that comes the element of surprise. So when you sit down to write your memoir, they are going to be your memories, they're going to be snapshots, they're going to be episodes, but you can't necessarily make them episodic because they have to be developing themes which will come out naturally in your writing, I found. I don't know if you found that, but I certainly did. You certainly have to abide by storytelling principles. You have to read fastidiously about storytelling principles because there's a lot of material out there. And Donald Moss, a literary agent of the Moss Literary Agency in New York, his book, Writing the Breakout Novel, also gave me great courage and great tools to work with. And I read that about a couple of years before even I wrote my memoir. So you definitely have to frame episodes, and you have to frame interactions, shape scenes, and, you know, definitely follow, if not genre rules, which I am not sure if I followed them in my memoir. I am not sure at all. But then again, I'm not sure if Henry Kissinger or Margaret Thatcher or anybody else who's done a memoir, if they've done it either, because I don't read those.
Right.
But you definitely have to keep in mind that you're telling a story all the time. And you can begin at the beginning, of course. We have to decide where to begin, you know, and I think editor number two gave me the hint of where I should start mine.
Yeah, those beginnings are tricky. It sounds like they're difficult regardless of whether you're writing fiction, regardless of whether you're, writing a memoir, for example. I know personally, my experience in the world of fiction, I've had to write many different beginnings to any one of my novels until I find the one that works just right. And one thing that I think is really great that you've pointed out is this idea that storytelling principles still really apply when you're writing a memoir. And I'm curious, you know, you mentioned that in the context of having to frame some scenes perhaps differently than maybe they transpired, or just massaging them a little bit so that it feels like it's part of these storytelling principles. You know, I have to imagine that would be a very difficult thing to do. So what was your approach to doing that? How did you choose how to shape these and make them in line with storytelling principles?
Well, it's easy because you can't just do it chronologically, especially with a memoir. Start at a specific time, and that'll set the tone for the rest of the story. And then, actually, the hardest part was working towards the end of it, is what am I going to leave hanging? And this is why, you know, some people say this is why movies don't know how to end, or some books don't know how to end. Even a great book that will stand the test of time, some people will say, well, it just felt like that writer just got to a certain point and stopped writing. And maybe he or she did. Hey, so they've told the story they wanted to tell, and maybe they don't think much of the ending. We don't know. So it's easy to do that. In some ways, that's very easy because it also, especially when you travel, my travels to Australia have specific dates and departure and arrival times, all right? When I leave the States, when I go back to Australia, when I come back to America. And so that was actually the easiest part. The hardest part was actually how much am I going to reveal about certain characters, because I have a friend from Singapore in the book. I have certain Aussie friends, certain American friends that will appear again and again. And a friend of mine who read every chapter of this book said, yeah, your characters appear again and again in different parts of the story. And that's when you have to decide, and this is hard, this is when editors tell you to be ruthless of what to cut, is how much will you reveal about them? Do they matter? Do they matter? Are they important? Are they necessary to the advancement of the story? And that's what's really tough.
And I would say, you know, as someone who has written not necessarily a memoir, but I was writing a fiction manuscript at one point based on my experiences in the pizza delivery industry. And I really struggled with that in particular. You know, there are so many people who felt as though they were integral to the day-to-day experiences that I had working in that industry. But when I ran it past some early reviewers, they thought, hey, you know, I'm not totally sure we need this character to just be kind of around to pop in and out, but it was hard. It's very difficult to cut those people from a manuscript because you think, well, it feels almost like I'm saying, well, you weren't quite important enough. It gets much more personal, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And it's hard to be ruthless with your own personal story. Absolutely. Because I would imagine you saw a fair amount in the pizza delivery business.
Yeah.
As a friend of high school, at least.
Yeah, late night pizza delivery in a college town, let me tell you. I mean, maybe someday I will get down to actually writing a decent version of that I can really embrace as fiction as opposed to memoir, because I think the only way it's going to be believable is if I just throw it out into the universe as fiction, though much of it will be based on things that maybe did happen. But yeah, well, you know, someday I'll revisit that one. Maybe when I've got the line between memoir and fiction mindset a little more straightened out in my mind. So, you know, and I'm curious too, we've talked about, you know, cutting characters, quote unquote, in something like a memoir. You know, were there any moments or memories that were really important to you personally that you unfortunately had to kind of leave on the cutting room floor, so to speak? And when those moments, when you kind of realized they might have to be cut from the manuscript, how did you kind of prepare yourself for that? How did you allow yourself to, like, take that action and feel comfortable with it?
Well, you stay true to the story. That's the biggest thing. There was one section where I went on a solo hike in New Zealand, and I said, oh, this is great. You know, it's a great metaphor for the rest of the story. We're traveling abroad. But a friend of mine said, after two or three reads, she said, a wonderful writer also out in Seattle named Tatiana Michelle, she said, is this necessary? And I said, you know what? It actually isn't. She goes, no, get back to Australia. You know, because I did a week layover, had a wonderful time in New Zealand. But I was by myself. But you know what? It didn't draw out emotion. Didn't let the readers feel anything. We don't meet anybody new. We get to know a place, maybe, but we're not going to compare and contrast New Zealand and Australia. All those people down there do that anyway, or on some level, right? So, you know, it just didn't. And so, yeah, I cut, like, I don't know, 6 or 7 pages out. But once I cut it, then I felt fine. Right. Because then I was like, oh no, that's not what this is about. A filmmaker, the late Sidney Lumet, he would turn a page on a script or a screenplay, and he would say, ask on every page, what is this about? Hmm. You know, and he would want to hear an answer in his head or from somebody else, a one-sentence answer. So once you make that cut, then it feels good, because you can also, it frees you to create again.
Right, and that's not to say, you know, it's not like once it's cut from the manuscript that it's disappeared from your cache of life experiences, for example. It's always still there, it's part of you, and also things like that can always be repurposed for perhaps short stories or for something like a travel blog for folks who might be listening and have a blog and aren't really sure what to do with the experiences they've been chronicling, for example.
Exactly. You can cut, even create a separate document and just say, this is the stuff I cut. And I couldn't. I don't think I did that this time, but hopefully, maybe, perhaps you and others do.
Lessons learned, you know, that is something that I did when my early days of writing was I would cut something and it was gone forever. I have since learned, you know, writing in Scrivener, which is my preferred program, I have an opportunity to just update the document, save those words that I had in that particular scene in an older version of the scene. And you never know. Sometimes you need to borrow a line or two that you know you're not remembering quite right, and it can come in handy a little bit later. So, well, very good. You know, I think that as we kind of reflect on the conversation that we have had and continue to have here, one thing that I'd like to kind of offer to listeners is perhaps from your perspective, what is some advice that you might have for folks who are looking to write memoir or who maybe are in the middle of writing a memoir, for example? What advice can you offer them about based on your experiences?
One is to trust your feelings. What you felt at that moment or in that scene, so to speak, is true, because it's yours. It's no one else's. No one else experienced that exact action or reaction or interaction with another person, with another travel experience, especially with traveling, because you'll go to a specific country, or heck, you could go to the Boundary Waters, you could go to Cave of the Mounds, you could go to Rochester, Minnesota, someplace like that. But you'll have a particular experience at a particular time, and you feel it, and you can recreate that moment and expand on it. Which is actually, since I'm a teacher during the day, sometimes with middle school kids and upper elementary school kids, we work on that, on expanding a moment. And you have to remember that drafting is just that, and revising is just that. Revising is editing and making better, okay? And making it better sometimes means in all sorts of ways. Mostly it's the writing. If you read it out loud, that's the number one rule that I would impart to people, is to read it out loud. See how it sounds to the ears, because we're always reading in our heads all the time. And so if you revise it, is to make better, and then you can be proud of what you accomplished, and all the more so.
And it really does sound then, you know, in terms of the revisions process and the general advice that you would offer to folks writing memoir, these are great things that, you know, those writing fiction will hear all the time as well. So, you know, whether it's writing memoir, whether it's writing fiction, like you said, yes, storytelling principles apply in both, and so does some of this advice that we can take with us as we try to put these stories down, whether fact or fiction. So before I let you go, Dave, I wanted to ask you, where is it that listeners can find you online if they want to reach out or if they want to find your memoir?
Absolutely. Well, you can order my memoir through Amazon.com. The title is Walkabout Undone. Movies Matter, as Dave says, moviesmatter.com. You can contact me through the website. Absolutely.
Very good. Well, thank you so much, Dave, for joining me for this episode of the R.R. Campbell Writes Cast.
Okay, thank you, R.R., and all the best to you and your writing.
Thanks, and you as well.
And that'll do it for my conversation with Dave Watson, author of Walkabout Undone and founder of DaveSaysMoviesMatter.com. Thanks to Dave for joining me for this episode, and thanks to you, dear listeners, for tuning in. I'd also like to thank patrons of the RightsCast Network programming over at patreon.com/rightscast. Their support of our network at $1, $2, or $3 per episode goes a long way into helping us become self-sustaining, and they get great patron rewards in exchange for their contributions. These rewards include RightsCast Network swag, extra votes in listeners' choice polls, and discounts on my editing services. Those who contribute at the Wise Mentor level get shoutouts in every episode of our programming, so thank you, Kristen Oakley and Laura Hazen, for that level of support. If you'd like to learn more about these perks and become a patron yourself, you can do so at patreon.com/rightscast. That's patreon.com/rightscast. Coming up next on the RightsCast Network, we'll have a novel approaches episode that's all about inciting incidents. What they are, how we can approach them, and what separates the way too chill from the scene full of thrill that we'll need to kick off our manuscripts. Until that episode debuts on May 10th, you can find us online at rightscast.net or on Twitter at rightscast. To get in touch with me personally, you can visit my website at rrcampbellwrites.com or reach out to me on Twitter, where I can be found as IamRRCampbell. That's all for now. Thanks again for joining me for this episode of the R.R. Campbell Writes Cast. Until next time, this is R.R. Campbell signing off. Write on and write well.
This is the Writes Cast Network at writescast.net.